What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Heroes for Sale podcast. This is episode 10. My name is Adam. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different, a little bit of a different format. I'm going to be talking about why the culture outside of sports cards can affect the prices of potential future investments or potential prices of cards you might want to add to your PC. So let's get going. Welcome back to the show, everybody. First off, I want to thank everyone who has listened through the first 9 episodes, and thank anyone who maybe this is their first episode, maybe they're just finding the podcast for the first time. You guys are in for something that I've kind of been developing for a while that I'm pretty excited to share with everybody. So if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen some of the concepts that I've been developing. Also, you have probably seen that there is a post that I posted earlier this week. The title is Back to Basics. So the original goal of kind of creating the Instagram was to learn for myself, but then also to share some of the knowledge. And I felt like some of the content was getting a little bit too high level and that I wasn't explaining some of the basic stuff. So that's something that I'm going to be trying in most of my posts, is to have something called the basics, which is, it sounds like what it's going to be. It's going to be the basic concept of the post itself, and it's going to be basically dialed down to the, if you were new, it's kind of something that would be like, okay, this is why this post is being made, or this is why this is important if I'm new into collecting. Because when I got back into collecting, I know I've talked to a ton of people about this, there was just so much I was confused about, and I didn't really even know where to start. And creating the Instagram account was kind of my way of starting the new process of getting to know sports cards, essentially. So just wanted to get that out of the way first. Now, onto this episode. So I have been discussing this concept with a few different people on Instagram, so I'm sure maybe some of you that are listening to the podcast have heard this before, but I just wanted to point out why I think there's a few different areas outside of sports cards that I think if you're in the same mindset as me, where I see a lot of growth coming in the industry, a lot of growth that people are going to be coming in and they're going to be wondering what cards to buy and what cards to invest in, and they're going to be looking at players that aren't just in the league now, but players that are retired. So first of all, the first kind of player comparison that I do want to use is going to be next year in the 2020 NBA Hall of Fame is going to be Kobe, KG, and Tim Duncan. So Kobe, no-brainer. I mean, that's a guy that I've been buying. I've been buying a couple of his raw cards. I'll probably get those graded, but I've been buying graded. But the two other guys that I think are probably two extremely influential people in the sport itself, that there are reasons why I think one of their cards is going to be, it's going to move the needle a little bit more. So it's going to be KG and Tim Duncan. In my opinion, and you can look at stats and you can figure this out, I think Tim Duncan was probably a better player than KG. Like, he won more championships. And overall, I just think he was probably one of the most dominant big men during the time period when he played. KG was definitely more of like an electric type of figure. He was still top 20 player in the league when he was at his peak, but like, I think Tim Duncan was more of like a top 5 type of player when he was in the league. But if we're looking at cards to invest in, I think Tim Duncan, Kobe, KG, all good cards to buy. Because I think they're going to, once the Hall of Fame buzz comes around, I think it's one reason why you're seeing Kobe in the news a lot, is because they're trying to get the buzz up for the Hall of Fame for next year. And I don't know if they're going to do anything special for it, because it feels like that group of players that left the league the same year was, those are like legendary type players. Like, they all, in their own right, they all are, I would consider them legends. Like, I mean, Kobe, top 5 player, and then KG and Tim Duncan. I don't know where they would rank in kind of overall basketball ranking, but like, they're probably in like the top 100 at least. I'd have to look at, if I looked at a list, I'd know for sure, but I don't. But so here's basically what I'm trying to get at. I think Tim Duncan his cards are going to go up in value. But I think KG, his cards are going to go higher in value as he gets closer to the Hall of Fame and more people come into the hobby. Basically, I think in culture, and that could be popular culture, that could be sports culture, that could be card culture, KG is just more relevant than Tim Duncan currently. And I think that's going to matter going forward. Like, if you look at Instagram, I think KG has 800,000 or 900,000. So he's almost at 1 million, which, like, if you're comparing athletes, I don't know, like, almost 1 million compared to, like, a LeBron or compared to, like, Steph is not a lot. But, like, as a retired player who is older, like, I think 1 million followers, once he gets there, that's going to be a big deal probably. But when I was looking for Tim Duncan on Instagram, I couldn't find him. So I just think it's going to be harder for people to really understand what kind of player Tim Duncan was compared to KG, because they're just not seeing Tim Duncan's name as much as they are with KG. Like, you also, like, Garnett also has a TV show that he has retired players on. So that's another reason why people will, his name is going to be more known than Tim Duncan's was in the period of time where maybe people are collecting. Like, one thing that you may say, you may disagree sort of with that kind of idea, because anybody who's getting KG or Tim Duncan cards knows that Tim Duncan is better. But, like, if you were to say who's the more entertaining player, I don't think there's any pictures of KG at an Old Navy buying, like, 100 pairs of pants. And I know there's, like, a couple pictures I've seen that are, like, memes, so I don't know if they're, like, I don't know how much truth is in this, but it was, like, Tim Duncan was just at an Old Navy, and he wasn't being swarmed. Like, I don't know if KG could go and do that. I don't think it might not have even been an Old Navy, but it was an Old Navy-type store, like The Gap, maybe. That was it. But whatever. So, between KG and Tim Duncan, if you're looking into buying either of their cards, like, realistically right now, you could buy either of them for extremely cheap. Like, I was buying some Kevin Garnett rookie cards for, like, $20 to $30, like, graded 10. Supply also is down a little bit, so that's another reason why I think those cards are going to be good. I've mentioned him on other podcasts, but 90s B-ball cards. I've talked to him a lot about these 90s cards and trying to figure out which cards are going to be popular in the future. And one concept that he explained to me pretty well that I didn't fully understand until he explained it, was that the culture of sports cards back then was less rookie centric and it was more like insert centric. So, like, if you go to his page, it's more insert cards from the 90s. Like, collectors are going to come back. If they're coming back into the hobby or they're new in the hobby, they're going to be looking at these 90s inserts that had these crazy designs and that were low numbered rather than the rookie cards. So that's one thing to look at. That's not something I will be looking at, but that's something that he explained to me, and he knows more about the industry. He knows more about what the industry was like back then than I do, because his whole subject that he talks about is about 90s basketball cards. So I obviously trust him that he knows what he's talking about and that he's going to direct me in the right direction. But for me, I probably will going more of the rookie cards, just because for me that there's more data about rookie cards, and I think the inserts are super cool, but they're just not for me. For some people, I think they will be though. So that's one thing to keep an eye on when you are looking at 90s rookie cards, basically, for 90s and 2000s rookie cards. The next topic I want to go over is more about specifically Instagram followers. And I don't know if I've made a specific post about this. I may just keep it on the podcast and not make a post about it. But here's the thing. Followers matter in culture. Like, for movie stars and maybe TV celebrities, like, that are just getting on Instagram, they're behind the boat. That's why you're seeing, like, that's why people consider YouTube people, like, more famous. Like, maybe it's just kids, but, like, even kids that are getting older and, like, my age, like, if you were to say, would you rather meet, like, PewDiePie, or would you rather meet, like, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough because I have to come up with a name that isn't, that I care about, but not enough. Like Brad Pitt, I guess. Like both of them are probably like some of, I mean, PewDiePie is the biggest YouTuber of all time, or not, actually maybe of all time. I don't know if all time, but biggest single YouTuber. Brad Pitt's one of the best actors of all time, but I'd rather meet PewDiePie. That's just the facts for me. And so followers, even though like, if you're into social media marketing and stuff like that, you know, kind of the big thing is like you don't want to care about how many followers you have or what numbers you're getting. You just want to create on the platform, and that's the most important part. But that's true and not true in a scenario where the biggest celebrities nowadays are the people who have the most followers. Like, but also, the other weird kind of thing about that is, like, there's people that have 2 million followers that I've never heard of. So that's kind of where you're in that slippery slope of, like, people who matter and people who don't matter. Like, and then, like, influencers who have, like, 3 million followers, but, like, no one's ever heard of them. It's an interesting point. But I digress here. Back to sports cards. If you look at the athletes, the top athletes of each sport, so you look at LeBron. And this is the example I'm going to use. I'm going to use LeBron James and Mike Trout. Mike Trout, best player in baseball, notorious for kind of not wanting to be in the media. So I think his numbers are deflated a little bit. Like if he really tried, I'm sure he could have way more followers. But regardless, only like a million followers, and. Actually, I'm just going to look it up right now so I can get the exact number so I can tell you. Okay, sorry. 1.7 million followers for Mike Trout. And if you look at LeBron, I'm going to look that up as well just so I can. This is, so 51.6 million followers. Now, if you look at their cards, their LeBron James Chrome. Now, that's something that I have, like, that one has gone through a weird thing where it's gone up a crazy amount, and it's kind of leveled off a little bit. But the Trout rookie card, that one's been around 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 for quite some time. And like I've said, if you follow me on Instagram, you see that kind of the concepts that I try and bring into my content are alternative ways to look at something that isn't just most popular guy, best player in the league. Like I look at, I try and bring in some data that says like this person will be more relevant in the future based off of not just their play on the field or the court or the ice or whatever. Now, if baseball, if you look at sports cards and you were to look at somebody and say, hey, I make sports card content or I have a sports card podcast, it'd be like, oh, like baseball cards? And I think that's one reason why I think you're going to see if there's new people that either have collected or have not collected, I think they may gravitate towards baseball cards more just because of the interactions I've had with people that I've told them what I do. I would say 99% of the time their initial reaction is like, oh, baseball cards. And it's like, yeah, baseball cards, but also like basketball. And then they'll go, oh, there's basketball cards. And it's like, yes, the basketball cards are actually probably just as popular, if not more popular than baseball. So you look at those two players and compare like their follower count, which like I said, it matters. And LeBron James has 50 more million followers than Trout. And I'd say that's probably more of an issue for baseball in general. Because if you also look at the leagues, baseball's ranked third. And they're not even like, so I think I'm just going to look this up as well, just so that way I have it. So MLB total followers is on Instagram is 5.8. And I'm using Instagram right now because that is the most important platform kind of in marketing itself, or in social media marketing at least. And then you look at the NHL, 3.7. So they're last. The NFL I know was in second. They have 15.2. And then the NBA, I think, is ridiculously high. That one's, yeah, 40. So, like, the MLB has around 6. So, that's kind of an issue for the league itself. Like, if you are closer to the NHL in amount of followers than you are closer to the NBA or NFL in total followers. Like, that's a huge issue, in my opinion. Like, I know the MLB has pretty strict, they had strict rules against using video from their games. Like, you hear at the beginning of the game, this is a Major League Baseball express you the unlawful use of this video, I guess, without the a direct express written whatever from the MLB is strictly prohibited, or whatever the thing is. Like, I think everyone's heard that at the beginning of every single sports game they've ever seen. But so there's another kind of culturally relevant topic that I think, if you're looking into sports cards, I think followers is an area that you can look at and potentially say, well, this person has X, this person has X, so potentially this person is going to be more valuable in the future because they already have a larger audience of people who are interested in that player. So the last topic on the show today, I haven't really publicly started making soccer content. If you follow my Instagram story, you probably have seen me post about like Chelsea and like Neymar and Mbappe and like some other and like Premier League stuff. But so soccer is kind of an industry for sports cards that I'm looking into pretty heavily. I want to learn more about it before I start kind of making content, but that's definitely going to be something that in the future you're going to be seeing more soccer content, because in my opinion, soccer, it's the world's biggest sport. And currently right now, if you are buying soccer cards, I don't even know how to express how cheap they are. Like, you can buy, Ronaldo and Messi cards are like $2,000 for their like rookie cards, and like the rookie card itself is coming from 2003, I think, for Ronaldo, and then I think 2004 for Messi. But like, those are the Jordans of this era for soccer, in the biggest era for like media and that kind of stuff. So, like, in the last topic, I talked about followers. So, like, if you look at Ronaldo, he's got 100. This is absolutely the most bananas thing ever. He has 184 million followers. And then Messi has 131. So, let's just go to Ronaldo's post really quickly and we'll see. So, if you go to Ronaldo's last post, he has 5 million likes, 5.1 million likes. That is the most banana land statistic ever. And you go to, like, I think the record is like, what was the world record egg or whatever? Sorry, I'm looking up a lot of stuff today. So the world record egg for likes, I'm going to try and scroll down and see this picture that was the world record. The world record is 58, so he has 10, his post is getting 10% of what the world record was. So Ronaldo, I think, is a good card to buy if you're looking for like high-end sports card investing. But the players that I'm currently looking at are Mbappe and Neymar. So Mbappe is a French player. He plays for PSG, which is in France. But then, and then the other player is Neymar, who also plays for PSG, and he is Brazilian. So he plays for Brazil. So if you're looking for the cards, I'll just kind of give you this little tip here. The Mbappe card I'm buying is the 2018 World Panini Prism World Cup. And then the Neymar card is the 2014 Panini Prism World Cup. So both of them, those are their national team cards. And from the people that I've talked to, the national team cards are what are going to be considered rookie cards in the future. Like, the market is kind of all over the place. Like, there isn't really a standard currently of like what is and isn't a rookie card, because there's no rookie card logo like there is for American sports. And also there's kind of a huge difference between American sports and soccer, because like, the person plays for their club team, but then they also play for the national team, and they're going to have cards for both. And something that I've been kicking around is that there's potential that we could see like a rookie card for, we're going to see different tiers of rookie cards, because there's like some players, what will happen, like example, Christian Pulisic is a rookie in the Premier League right now. He plays for Chelsea, But he also has cards where he played for a team in Germany. So, like, the team in Germany, those are rookie cards. But then you... but then he's going to have, like, Chelsea rookie cards. But then he's also going to have USA rookie cards. So... Or USA card. I'm calling them rookie cards, but I don't know if they're for sure going to be considered that. Like, the unfortunate thing that I think really happened was in this... So, Premier League, the EPL... They have a Panini Prism product coming out because Panini just got the licensing for the Premier League. And the Pulisic card that's coming out is just terrible. It's really unfortunate. It's not of him playing. It's just of him holding his Chelsea jersey. It's honestly like I was telling... So I was talking to Aaron from Slabstocks, and my thought was that like this could cause people to not... This could cause the market to not want to collect... Premier League rookie cards. Like they could they're not going to consider, even though they're switching leagues and that the Premier League is the biggest league, the biggest soccer European league in the world, people aren't going to consider, if they're switching, for that to be considered a rookie card and be the most valuable one because of this one. This, because this is the first one that they had, the first big name rookie that they had, and this is the card that they rolled out with him. Like, I don't know, it's unfortunate, but whatever. So I digress about that. So, like I said, I am looking at Neymar because the other reason is because he, like I said, I've been looking up a lot of stuff this episode. 126 million followers. So Messi has 130. So Neymar is right behind him. And I think coming up, you got the next World Cup. I think it's in Qatar in 2022, I'm pretty sure. But you just had the start of the new Champions League. So that's where all the European leagues come together and they play each other. And then every 2 years, because we just had the championship from the last Champions League over the summer, which Liverpool won, which Salah, I don't know if you follow, people know who that is. He was basically one of the players on Liverpool that really helped them out. But then you have the Champions League, and then the U.S. So here's the date I'm really targeting for these soccer cards of when they're, I think they're going to really reach the peak. And this is going to sound crazy. The World Cup that's going to be in North America in 2026. And I know, that's like 7 years from now. But if you really, I think the soccer right now, you have probably until the next World Cup before you see prices start to go up a little bit. If you want to get in on soccer, if you want to learn about soccer, I think you have a little bit of time here. I've been buying soccer since the beginning of the summer, and I've seen the prices pretty much stay about the same. I think now that you have the leagues are starting up again, the same way that with the NFL, the leagues are starting up. Like, you had the Premier League a couple weeks ago, Champions League this week. Leagues are starting up again. You're probably going to see prices start to go up a little bit because now people, these players are going to be in the news. You're also going to see probably more because they're going to be prepping for the World Cup, and you're going to be seeing how people are performing in their preparation for the World Cup, and then you got the World Cup coming up in 2 years. And I think one thing that's good for that World Cup in terms of pricing and kind of if you're making some sort of investment here, that the World Cup is in Qatar, so that's like in the east, I guess. It doesn't, depending on where you're living, it could be west. The world's, you could go either way and end up in Qatar, so you could go east or you could go west. So that is going to be closer to those European nations where a lot of these players are stars, and I think it's unfortunate for the U.S. market because it's going to be a little bit harder to watch the games because of the time difference, but I also think it's going to help the market because hopefully if people start getting into sports cards that are outside the United States, this is going to be their time period where they're going to be seeing these players play for probably not the first time, but they're going to be seeing them perform at the highest level. Like, they're going to be seeing all of the best players playing. Yeah, so that's kind of something that I'm looking at as well, that I'm a little bit... If you couldn't tell, this is one of the longer segments of the show. It's something that I've been pretty excited about. And some content that you'll be seeing from me soon will be the sports card soccer stuff. That is going to be it for this episode. episode 10, I'd like to thank you for getting to this point. Thank you for listening to me babble on about why sports cards and culture will be relevant in the future. If you like the show and you want to leave me a review on iTunes, feel free. If you just go, you go into the show, you scroll down to the bottom, you see review, you can just give it 5 stars, tell everybody you loved it. If you screenshot your review or you screenshot you listen to the podcast, I will 100% repost it on my story. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you've ever known that this is the best sports card podcast you've ever heard in your whole entire life. And if they want to be ahead of the curve when sports cards start to become relevant in culture, they're going to want to listen to this, especially this episode. Episode 10, I think, is going to be an episode that's going to be evergreen. And evergreen means just you can listen to it at any time. The numbers I talked about in the followers, I think, they're going to be changing, but they'll still be relevant. You're going to be able to listen to this episode in a year, and the concepts are still going to be, well, if you listen to it a year, Kobe and KG might already be in the Hall of Fame. But that's all right. Still tell your friends. That's going to be it. If you're not following me on Instagram, it's Heroes for Sale on Instagram. Also, I changed my other Instagram to A Palmer Media. I'm trying something new on there. I'm going to be trying to take some of that LinkedIn content and make it on Instagram. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. But if you're not connecting with me on LinkedIn, most likely the link in my bio, you can connect with me. And I would love to do that. Been creating awesome, I'll call it awesome content. I like the content. And I think people are interested in it. So I'm going to call it awesome. I don't know. Maybe other people. Quality is subjective in my opinion. Quantity and posting 2 times a day on there. And yeah, that's it. If you are listening to the show, send me a DM. Let me know what you think. I will talk to everybody in the next one.